Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
9 o'clock, rolling along on a Monday here in June. The weather of heat is upon us. 90 and 90. The next 2 days is going to feel like 100. And when they put like heat index, it just says like average, normal, decent, brutal. It's just in the brutal.
Yeah, it's in the brutal category.
Yeah, we'll be mowing the yard today.
Well, let me ask you this, get your perspective on this. We're going to head back to Lawrence today for the game, finishing up, right? It's 8-1 right now in the third inning. Mm-hmm. And so which college baseball is unique. I saw some nitwit out there saying, okay, they're going to start the game over. Sorry, Kev, they're not. It starts with an 8-1 score. We pick up where we left off yesterday. But I asked our friend Kurt Nelson of the Royals Hall of Fame, big OU guy, I said, going back to Lawrence today, am I wasting my time? He goes, from my perspective, hopefully you are wasting your time because big OU fan. He goes, definitely prefer being on the 8 side of the 8-1 score. But college baseball games, man, that can flip more wildly. And it's something that you were saying earlier, like 8-1 is nothing in college baseball.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's early in the game.
Yeah.
No.
Third inning, though. You know, bottom of the third, which is Oklahoma's still up, I think.
And you've seen enough of, like, what's gone on so far in this College World Series where Georgia was down and West Virginia's been down. North Carolina walked it off yesterday, scoring 2 in the ninth. Now it's not 7, but it was the ninth, not the third inning. So still pretty interesting. This is a story that I didn't know existed. This happened on this date in 1989.
Well, I'll tell you something right now. If we lose this game, I'll walk back to Pittsburgh.
The Phillies bounce back from a 10-0 deficit. They beat the Pirates the final 15-11.
After that broadcast and the Phillies' big comeback, Jim decided to take his foot out of his mouth and put it to the pavement by making the walk from Veterans Stadium in Philadelphia to Pittsburgh's Three Rivers Stadium. If you think walking over 300 miles is easy, think twice and consider the route.
Update, we have just walked our first 5 miles this morning, and as you can see, the invigorating energy that we have on our march to, where are we going today?
Shippensburg!
We're going to...
So the Pittsburgh Pirates broadcaster, Jim Rooker, said that if Pittsburgh loses this game, I'll walk back. They did. 15-11. That's insane.
I never heard that story. That's fantastic.
From Philadelphia back to Pittsburgh, he actually walked the 300-plus miles back. Be careful what you wish for.
I mean, damn, that's a walk.
If we lose this game, I'll walk back to Pittsburgh. Okay.
Okay. How long did it take him to get there?
I don't know.
Did he make it back?
I'm sure.
Did he ever broadcast again?
Yeah.
That's great, man.
Oh. Okay. Looks like TMZ is reporting an article saying a private jet slated to fly MLB great Yadier
Molina to Puerto Rico
crashed shortly after takeoff in Dominican Republic on Sunday, resulting in the deaths of the pilot and co-pilot.
Did you see the plane crash? It never gets off the ground. It gets like caught in the grass or something and just explodes.
And he wasn't on
it? No, he was not. It was going to get him to bring him back.
Oof.
Yeah, that plane crash. I mean, it just like vaporized the plane. It was gone. The employee line at Madison Square Garden this morning to get into work, it's already an hour wait for the workers to get in to Madison Square Garden.
This is interesting. So this is, speaking of Jalen Brunson, Jalen Brunson says Michael Jordan offered to autograph his jersey when he was 6, and he told MJ no. Quote, every away arena I got the home team's jersey, just something me and my mom did. So we go to D.C., Jordan was on the Wizards, and I had Jordan's jersey on. After the game, I got to see my dad in the locker room, went to the other locker room with one of their coaches, and I met Michael. He's like, you want me to sign your jersey? I said, no, you'll mess it up. I was dead serious. I'm growing up in the NBA, seeing all these players all the time, taking it for granted. I had no signatures, nothing. I was like, I don't need signatures. I'm good. Don't mess with my jersey. Don't mess my jersey up, MJ.
How many times has Michael Jordan ever been told no when he's asked, do you want my autograph?
By a kid.
By a kid. Yeah, by a kid.
No,
right?
I'm good.
No, I'm good. Thanks, man. But, also, I'm Michael Jordan, man. You may not be familiar with me. Yeah, I know who you are.
Yeah, maybe I don't want the Wizards jersey signed, but if I had a Bulls 23 or a Bulls 45, sign the heck out of that one,
Jordan,
man.
Could be calling Brunson, go, hey, can I get one of your jerseys signed right about now?
Damn right.
How many people, though, honestly, has told Michael Jordan no? Or how many people has Jordan actually offered to do that to? Because he's not got the best reputation, you know? So...
That's crazy. I still can't believe that guy walked 300 miles. What a story. Speaking of a story, you say Jalen Hurts has the most pressure as a player in the NFL this year.
Yeah, I do, because they got rid of A.J. Brown, you know, and he's gone. And now it's all about, you know, Jalen Hurts and what he can do. They got rid of the quote-unquote perceived problem in that locker room for a team that was going to the Super Bowl and winning the division and doing great things, man. It was a very, very butchered locker room. And so now I'm looking at Jalen Hurts and I'm like, okay, you're under the microscope now, man. Like, they got rid of AJ Brown. Saquon Barkley may or may not be good. Another new offensive coordinator, but still it's time. It is Jalen Hurts' time to step it up and show what kind of quarterback he can make, and let Philadelphia know they made the right decision by moving on from AJ Brown and not moving on from Jalen Hurts. A lot of pressure on that guy this year.
Where's Kyler Murray in this list?
New team. It's different for me. New team, new coach, new situation. Had he stayed in Arizona with the same coach and same offensive coordinator and they surrounded him with weapons, I would have said the pressure's on Kyler now. He changed teams. I can't put a lot of pressure on Kyler Murray right now.
I agree, though. The pressure for Jalen Hurts is less of like a win now pressure. Can you win? It's are you good?
Are you good?
Are you good at this game?
Yeah, it's not about winning. It's about, are you good? Is this guy going to show us that? Who is it Danon always talks about? The win with guys versus the win because of guys. Are you winning because of Jalen Hurts? Or are you just winning because you got good players around him? We'll find out if a Jalen Hurts is a win with or a win because of guy, I think, this year, too.
Yeah, I'd really like to see Lamar this year. Mm-hmm. I'm interested to see Jared Goff this year.
Yep.
I did like what Dan Campbell had to say about our guy, Jahmyr Gibbs. He said he's going to be the bell cow this year. He's going to get the majority of all the carries with Isaiah Pacheco now, obviously, in Detroit. He said they're going away from that. They're going to go strictly, you're our guy, three-down guy. You're going to see him.
Interesting.
And I'm kind of interested to see what that does for their offense. And said Jared Goff, I'd also like to see what we're going to see in Minnesota. Now, I don't know how much pressure is on Kyler.
Yeah, Kyler.
Murray,
yeah. Like I said, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, but I'm interested to see, like, he's won the job already, even though they've said he hasn't won the job. But we've heard the quotes from J.J. McCarthy.
Right, you can't give that job to J.J. McCarthy.
And then he doubled down on the quote as well. Mm-hmm. I'm also...
You got to trade him, quite honestly.
There's also a lot of pressure on Jackson Dart, because obviously we have his offseason that's been under the microscope of, you know, getting involved with politics in your locker room. And I thought Jameis Winston said it best when they were asked about it all. And then you look at last year where it was like, hey, they put you in the starting role, but then you just kept running into like problems. Like you kept getting hurt. We got to stop that. They fired Daboll because they believe that they can get a regime going with somebody that has the head on their shoulders that can get this team in the right direction. Mm-hmm. Well, that starts with number six in New York.
Absolutely.
And there's a lot of people in New York and New Jersey that are looking at him going, all right, maybe we got a chance to do something now. Mm-hmm. I'm interested to see what that means for
the Malik Nabers injury is very concerning, though, if you're Jackson Dart. He may not play till October. He may not play well again. I mean, he had a setback with that ACL injury. So that crushes Jackson Dart right from the jump, too.
Mm-hmm. I would put Jaden Daniels really high on this list.
Oh, well, that's an interesting one. Yeah, kind of. He had a good season, then he had last
year.
Amazing
season.
And now, who are you?
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Know, you've given
it's
us two
thing.
Ends of the spectrum, right? Yeah.
Yeah, so I think we can only take what we get, right? So as you said, we've shown us two ends of the spectrum. We're going to kind of take this third year as who you are, whether that's fair or not. It's going to kind of be the sum of his parts.
It is,
right?
Yeah. That's why you have a three-game series in sports, right? You know, you're the best two out of three.
Exactly.
And so you show us after that third season who you are. That's who you are going to be. And then it's going to take even more to try to overcome that if it's a bad outcome.
What about Caleb?
Pressure.
I think more fun this year for Caleb, not pressure.
I think last year was more pressure for him than this year.
Yeah, I think this year, I think he's on the cover of Madden. He ought to have swag this year.
What about Patty?
I think internal pressure by himself only.
Yeah. to me, like, he's proven all this stuff. Like, yeah. He's just proven everything. He's proven coming back from injuries, whether that be missing 6 weeks or whether that be in the middle of a game, playing hurt, playing with an ailment. So, yeah, I'd say he's done everything, but I do think there are a lot of people who would agree with that.
I think a lot of people on the outside would probably agree with that, right? Yeah, I think people on the inside, meaning inside of us here in Kansas City, I think we all look at it, we go, okay, we're going to be fine. Everybody believes Patrick Mahomes is going to be fine. I think the reason, and just call it what it is, that people are doubting Patrick, it's good content, man. It's June.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, start to think about, and I'm talking to all of us here, when people are saying negative things about the Chiefs for the next 6 weeks, it's June and middle of July. Okay, they need content. They're content farming and clicks and all that kind of stuff. So you'll have some talking heads screaming that Mahomes will never be back to the way he was and the cheat, you know, all that kind of stuff to get people kind of clicking and paying attention during a time of year when a lot of people are on vacation and doing their own thing, you know? A
couple of the names that come up on the text line before we go to break, CJ Stroud and Drake May.
Good one. Good one.
Also, basically what we're saying is the quarterback position every year.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of dudes, man.
A lot of dudes could be on the move, according to Vern, as we get into what the Royals are going to be moving forward here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Royals.
You're listening to Bob Fesco.
I'm surprised nobody punched him in the jaw yet.
And Dusty Likens.
He's a hoe, and I want that known.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Mac Bob says he has sources that tell him where he's where we can see the Greek Freak play basketball next year.
Yep. Ooh. Wendy's saying Miami. He wants to be a Heat.
Miami. Not Wendy. Giannis.
No, Windhorst.
Oh,
Wendy. Okay, I think he said Wimby.
No, that's fair. But, you know, Wendy.
Yeah.
Wendy and Wimby.
Milwaukee and Miami are about this far away.
Yeah. Yeah, he said Miami. He said Boston. He said
he's basically named every team. You know, the Knicks don't need him now if they win the championship. We're not spending any.
I've been to Pittsburgh, Milwaukee, Miami.
I think it'll be Miami. I don't think Boston. I don't think Boston's going to do it.
Yeah, I think.
Does Boston have state income tax?
Yeah, oh, big time. Massachusetts is one of the highest tax states.
Is Miami?
Nope.
Okay. Down, there you go.
Yeah. It's that simple.
He wants to win, though. He's made that really clear. And
Miami's a good place, though.
It's a great place. Yes, God, I had a great time.
No, I mean, for winning, I mean, they've got a great infrastructure in place. I mean, they just turn it over, and him and Riley, Spolster and Riley together, man, that thing's awesome.
Yeah, it'd be cool. Him and Clay Ware and Eric Spolstra. Just
could you imagine if him and Bam Adebayo both scored 80 in a game?
Yeah.
That'd be 160 at least.
Oh, man. Miami, though. I'd like, come on.
I mean,
make a splash hit. Go to L.A. Go to Boston.
Yeah, Miami would be pretty big.
I think L.A.'s going to struggle, guys, to get the star player after the LeBron experience based on, like, the NBA not allowing it to happen.
Somebody says he'll play wherever the Kalshi money lands. Yeah,
damn right.
Richard.
That's a hell of a text. You get the rest of the week. That's well done by you, man. Yes. You take the rest of the week off. But, no, I mean, like, the NBA has got to make sure that we lost LeBron for 5 years in this league. We really did. I mean, you know, it's 9:30 games. Nobody's paying attention.
Won a title.
And so
why would they let Luka go there if this is, you know what I mean?
Well, he's already out there, you know. We got to keep some of these players in the East. And also, too, everybody says the West is best, right? Let's get some talent staying in the East.
Give me a break on that.
All I hear with L.A. is they just need a third. They said they're going to give Luka and they're going to give Austin Reeves the way, and who's going to be the third that comes in to complete that third.
What about the Clippers? What do they need, too? Because there's another L.A. team. Like, if you want to send them to L.A., you send them to the Clippers. You know, they got a great tree farm out there that he can work in the offseason or whatever the hell's going on with that thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's going to get ugly, right?
Yeah, I think with the Kawhi Leonard
stuff. Yeah, the Kawhi Leonard tree farm story or whatever that was. Like, wait, he's working at a tree farm? What is this?
What? He never made one tweet or picture about this company that they paid him millions of dollars?
Yeah, what do you believe more, Kyrie? Kawhi is a tree farmer, or Rossini was with her friends.
Yeah, yes, right, exactly. I actually
pictures of both.
Yeah, I would actually believe more that Kawhi is a tree farmer than Rossini being with her friends. Yeah.
Yeah, Kawhi's quiet. Maybe he likes the nature. I could get there. What a
weirdo. That sounds like young Forrest Gump. Hey, Mr. Gump, Ms. Gump.
There used to be, when I was working in minor league baseball, like these acts would travel to go to all the minor league games, right? And there would be like the Blues Brothers you would see everywhere. There was a guy, I believe he is dead at this point in time, Myron Noodleman. Look up Mr. Noodleman, and he would perform. He would perform the minor league circuit. He would have a laugh like that. He was like a nerd and had these big buck teeth. Where he naked his like a. Yeah. You see Myron Noodleman? Yeah.
This is awesome.
Oh my! He looks like Myron.
He looks like a Myron Noodleman, right?
He has the over-large glove.
Yep.
He was billed as the fifth clown prince of baseball.
Yes, that's right. That was his name.
That's awesome.
And so he would do the he start laugh like that. I'm like, oh my god, it's
lost
Myron Noodleman.
2017.
Yeah, we lost
only
him.
Only 59 years old.
That's it.
Yeah. He's battling a rare form of sinus cancer.
It'd be kind of funny.
What?
Yeah.
It'd be weird if his casket was like massively oversized. Yeah. And like go out with a laugh.
Yes, it would be great. No, it'd be hilarious. Yeah, this dude looks awesome.
No, he's great entertainment. In between innings, on top of the dugout, doing like crazy just baseball nerd stuff.
Are you ready for some breaking news in the football world?
Oh, yes.
Judge in district court in Lubbock County, Texas, has granted the injunction requested by Texas Tech quarterback Brendan Sorsby. He's set to be eligible for the 2026 season.
Wow, there you go.
Let that transfer portal start.
Yeah, do you think he goes back to the Red Raiders, though?
I mean, they're set up for success.
Yeah, I mean,
they lost a few defensive players, but, man, that team was...
That team's supposed to be stacked, man.
Mm-hmm.
Spent a lot of money this offseason. I mean, he's their quarterback, so I would assume he's back, I guess. I don't know. Is that weird to you that he's allowed back?
It's just times I got to get adjusted to. Because, like, you wouldn't think, like, hey...
I mean, he gambled on games, right? Did he gamble
Lots
on games that his team was involved in?
Yes.
He did?
Yes. I believe he bet them to win, but I'd have to look at it.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't, whether one way or the other, Pete Rose, that's where I'm going with this one.
Cool.
We've ostracized Pete Rose, which they should, because it's a major deal in baseball to not gamble on your team. And when you're a manager, forget about it.
I mean, the comments are gold.
I'm sure they are.
The first one is hot take. This was all planned so Sorsby could get his own Heisman odds.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah.
Then the next one is the judge.
Yeah.
And it's
the Red Raider guy.
The old school white wig. Oh my god.
But I mean, if we did this to Pete Rose, which they should have, the gambling thing I do have a problem with. Like, you're supposed to not do it because of the ramifications that it could have, right? Of fixing games and not being on the up and up and ruining it for everybody. So yeah, I do have a problem with that. I do. We acted like Pete Rose was the devil. And never gave him an opportunity to even be in the Hall of Fame. Again, and I agree with that. But we've got this guy now who's a college kid that was doing this, and we're letting him back in. It seems a double-sided argument to me, you know? Now, I will say this. This kid is legal, okay? This is the legal side versus the Baseball Hall of Fame side and baseball policing their own thing. Mm-hmm. So that's the difference legally he's allowed in. But the NCAA should say, look, man, legally you can come in, but we don't want you here.
No, exactly. The next few
comments are, a judge in district court in the county Texas Tech plays has granted an injunction to new Texas Tech quarterback, right? Because that doesn't screen corruption. He broke the rules. He shouldn't get to play. It's pretty simple. The next comment, ridiculous. I'm usually on the player's side, but he bet on his own team's games. And Pete Rose gets a lifetime ban. Why weren't there judges like this in the 1980s?
Yeah, he made at least 40 wagers, totaling around $900 on Indiana football and or individual players between September and October of 2022. He did not play in those games, but he did make around 40 wagers on his own team.
So say he didn't play, but what if he's got inside information, right? What if he knew somebody was hurt or whatever the case is, right? You know, you're sitting in meetings all week and you're hearing about the other team and, hey, we're going to exploit this. And so you had information. I'm not a fan of athletes gambling because of what it can lead to. And so he did this, and look, I don't think he should play in college ever again, but I'm not the judge, you know?
I just worry about him as a guy. I mean, this is a real, real addiction. Like, he needs help.
Sure. Yeah.
Over $2,900 bets. I don't even want to think about the total amount of money. And we're not talking about, you know, football and basketball. We're talking about, you know,
ping pong,
Japanese, yeah. whatever, you know.
Oh, he was betting on that kind of stuff.
Everything, racing, all times mice of day. Racing. Oh. I don't know if those are the actual ones, but that's what we're trying to paint.
I thought it was that bad.
I didn't realize it was that bad. Somebody needs to take his phone away.
Exactly. Like, this guy needs serious. He needs to be in a treatment facility. I know they did the whole, he went to an anxiety and gambling facility for a couple days. Like, I don't.
A couple days doesn't change your behaviors. It takes 3 weeks to form a habit.
100%. And he's got years of a habit that's formed here. So, no, I don't think he should be allowed to play from a mental perspective.
Yeah.
Somebody in the comments says, Brendan Sorsby finally won a bet.
Now, if you're Texas Tech, do you bring the guy back? Do you want him part of your team anymore? There's that other side of it as well.
And if you're wondering why we're talking about this, it's because it has completely taken over all the insiders, all the NFL people that you could imagine. They're all upon this story as Ari.
Oh, Marlo. Here's another one, another update. Now Sorsby will be suspended for the first two games of the year. They're acting like he's on Texas Tech's team.
Yeah.
The Red Raiders play Abilene Christian and Oregon State. Those are the two games that so he's still on Texas Tech.
He's their quarterback.
Yes, as part of the ruling, Texas Tech quarterback Brandon Sorsby will be suspended for the first two games of the season.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, they're going to miss him against Abilene Christian?
Yeah.
Dang.
Yep. And now he doesn't have to go into the supplemental draft of the NFL.
But I don't know, would he have been drafted? I mean,
I don't know.
Is he good?
From a talent perspective, yeah, he would have been drafted, but I don't know about anything else.
Yeah. Like, if you're in the supplemental draft, if he were to go in the supplemental draft, would you have given up a second-round pick for him? Because that's essentially what the supplemental draft is.
And, I mean, Bink went on this. No one's been taking the supplemental draft for ages.
The only player that I truly remember being ever taken in a supplemental draft was a guy the Giants drafted, a quarterback named Dave Brown out of Duke, and he was complete and total ass. I mean, he sucks so bad. So bad. He was terrible. And so that's the only supplemental draft pick that I ever remember hearing. And this kid probably would have been picked, but what kind of pick would you have given up for him? Because you lose that pick in next year's draft.
Yeah, I mean, this says the only player selected in the supplemental draft to enter the Pro Football Hall of Fame was Chris Carter.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Looks like Bernie Kosar was in the supplemental draft.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
And after that, I don't know, Mike Wale, Jamal Williams, I guess is one I know, Ahmad Brooks, and Josh Gordon. Interesting. There you
go. Gordo?
Yeah. Well, we know why he was in it.
Yeah. That's he was a mess, too.
Just couldn't lay off the weed. We had Vernon earlier, and I gave him the over-under of players traded from the Kansas City Royals at 3.5. These were names that Vern brought up. Chris Bubich, which we obviously know because the A's have shown interest in Bubich as he's getting ready to start a rehab assignment as well, or a session. Lane Thomas, he said, that guy's going to be gone. He hits left-handed pitching way too well. We've seen this all the time. Like, your team gets a player, you're like, we got who? Mm-hmm. It's like, well, when they bring in a left-handed reliever, you'll like this guy. Schreiber, he said, if he can continue to do what he's been doing and show some signs that he can be a good bullpen arm. Daniel Lynch is a name to keep your eye on as well. And Carlos Estevez, if he can come back from his rehab starts, if it's not too late to show some sort of sign that he's got, you know, the capability to go out there and be a nice late inning bullpen arm. So that to me goes 1, 2, 3, 4. That's 5 players, and I gave him the over under 3.5.
You know, it's interesting with the situation that Vern was talking about. I would love to take the over of 3.5 as well on that. But all those moves that Vern talked about making, I agree with. I think everybody's available now when you're in a team that or on a team that is, you know, done for the year. You've got to find a way to make a positive out of a negative. Mm-hmm. And trading some of your guys to bolster your minor league system is always a good way to do that. Fans get excited about that. You're showing, you know, kind of forward thinking. You're getting rid of some of these guys that are on this team that you can, you know, get some collateral for. It's the right thing to do. And the Estevez one is very interesting because you get rid of him, you get rid of Schreiber. Now you really got to rebuild your bullpen this offseason, don't you think, Dusty? I mean, if you get rid of, I'm not going back to Ursig ever again as the closer. And, you know, so you're going to have an awfully busy offseason now trying to rebuild your outfield because that's still an issue and Now you're going to have to rebuild your bullpen, and you may need a couple of starting pitchers as well. So the Royals are going to have their work cut out for them this offseason, regardless of what they want to do. But I think you can kind of get a jump start on it and maybe start looking ahead for 27 by making some moves in 26 and getting some guys that will be ready to be in the big leagues in 27 for you.
I also think you can package what you do have right now and a guy like Blake Mitchell and guys like that with players that you also have, because if there's one thing we know, there are certain GMs in baseball that will get giddy over, you know, maybe like a guy that's ranked in a player, you know, a team system in the top five. Blake Mitchell's down there. You know Salvador Perez is here for another year. You know that Carter Jensen is the future at catcher. Is there a spot for Blake Mitchell to get to? I don't know, but if there is, it could be with somebody else's team as a high up prospect as well to package that with somebody else. Now, you also can't get run amok on the trade.
Right.
If you're 27 and 39, you start trading today, teams are going to know that you're trying to rebuild for the future, and they're going to try to sell you low, where it's like, hey, you might not see Bubic get traded, because it's also you're not going to be made a clown when it comes to getting these negotiations through.
Right, yeah.
And I don't want to just trade him to trade him.
Right, but he's also expiring a contract, too. You know, like the guys on the expiring contract, fine. You get whatever you can get. Like Michael Wacha, you know, Vernon said, you know, I don't want to trade Wacha because he has another year left on his contract, and that makes a lot of sense. But if you get a great offer for Michael Wacha that's really going to help you, you know, immediately next year and in the future, then that is a type of guy that you need to trade. Because going into next season, the Royals are still going to have to go out there and find a couple of bats. And you're going to be talking about an offseason now where Salvi's another year older and Vinny's coming off a poor season and Michael Garcia's coming off a poor season. It's like, what are you going to do this offseason? So the faster that they can get a jump on this stuff and flipping the roster over, I think the better it is. And I think everybody will be happy moving forward.
And it's still 2 months. August 3rd at 5 p.m. Central Time is your trade deadline. So 6 p.m. Eastern on August 3rd. That's a Monday for those of you wondering, is when that trade deadline expires. And of course, a lot of people would sit here and be like, oh, great, here we go. They win 2 or 3 against Cincy. They win 3 or 4 against Minnesota. Now, all of a sudden, they're getting some guys back. As we heard yesterday, Bobby Witt Jr. with right knee soreness. Burns seemed to have no worry whatsoever. That gives me some sort of reassuring feelings there. Caglione said is a horse, so the shoulder to the wall is just going to be one of those things. It's tender for a couple days, and then he'll be back in the swing of things. And then Salvi, he's obviously... So basically every injury we talked about, Vern basically said, you know what? Salvi's always playing through injury. He'll be okay. Yeah. He's been battling a hip injury all year. Give him an off day and a couple games off. He's ready for Tuesday. Cags, big dude, young, wants to play. He's going to be okay. And Bobby, he thinks he's going to be just fine, because you kind of need that. You don't want to see everybody that you like to watch get hurt.
No.
And then all of a sudden you got Garcia playing third, Thomas playing third, or Garcia playing short. So I think that's good to see. I am interested to know that he said Michael Wacha, probably not a guy that would be traded.
Yeah, that was interesting to me. And I still
because
feel
because the Cubs
like
need pitching
bad, but are like, they waving the white flag? I mean, with this Pete Crow Armstrong situation and losing 18 in a row at home or whatever it is, it's like, yeah, no, the Cubs do need obvious pitching. The Phillies are going to need some pitching too. I think when you look around baseball and you look at those two teams, if they're involved and you get a bidding war for Michael Wacha, that could be a really good thing for this organization. And that's what you have to weigh. Do you weigh looking at keeping Michael Wacha for 27, which based on what we have right now, it's probably not going to be a high expectation season, or do you trade Michael Wacha and start really get a jump start on the rebuild? Because Michael Wacha is a true guy that can bring you a legit amount back in return. Like the Bubic trade, fine, you trade him, you're not going to get a whole lot in return. Guys at the trading deadline on expiring contracts don't normally bring you the greatest in return. And so you've got the opportunity with a guy that has another year on his contract that pitches great to sell to a contender right now at a high rate. I think you have to consider that if you're the Royals.
Right. Now you have a lot of people that, you know, as Vern said on his postgame show and that we're getting on the text line now, like there's some people that aren't giving up. They saw enough this week. If they go 18 and 10 this month, then they're, you know, right back in contention. So yeah, 5.5 out of the wild card. Obviously the season not over, but there's just a massive crater of a hole that you've got to dig yourself out of, similar to what our parking lot looks like.
Yeah, really. I don't know what has bigger holes, the Royals right now or our parking lot, but it's not about the number in the wild. How many teams you got to climb up against? You basically have to pass every team but the Angels right now.
Yeah, you got Detroit and yourself that are tied at the wild card spot as well, but it looks like the next group of teams that you've got to get through are the couple of teams that are, you know, going to be coming to town here. Because if you look at the wild card, the teams that are in front of you are the Tigers. I guess the Tigers are the same, but it's the Red Sox and the Astros, the Twins, the Orioles, and the Athletics, and the Rangers. Mm-hmm. And the Rangers are 5.5 games above you. If you can take two out of three from the Rangers and take two out of three from Houston, then you're going to have a different conversation. But you've got to prove it to get there first in order to sustain this, because it is still quite the long season. Again, I'm kind of interested to see where the rest of the day goes with this story out of Texas Tech, if you missed it. Texas Tech quarterback Brendan Sorsby has been granted the injunction he requested by a judge in district court in Lubbock County. Sorsby is now expected to be eligible for the 2026 college football season.
I was talking to a person up in Lawrence last night at the game, and we were waiting to see what was going to happen. Everybody's talking about NIL and all this kind of stuff because of how wild and crazy it is. And this person I was talking to played college baseball. He's like, dude, there are like no rules anymore. Like, you can do anything you want. I'm like, yeah. And then I see Scott Van Pelt's tweet this morning. There really aren't any rules. You just go to court. If it fails, go to court again until a judge says you're all set. Won a seventh year? Sure. Broke rules? Ah, it's fine. There aren't any rules. And I think the sooner we can all get to that spot where there aren't any rules and we're just doing what we want, you know, that's the acceptance mindset. Is it the right thing? No, but until rules are changed, we're playing in a ruleless society right now in college sports.
If you want to know what goes with Mac's down bad statement about Brendan Sorsby, this comes from Ari Maroff. He says, Brendan Sorsby admitted to wagering at least $90,000 across more than 9,000 bets during his college career, including bets involving Indiana football while he was a member of the Hoosiers in 2022. $90,000 on 9,000 bets. Well, guess we know what his unit of betting is. But don't forget, Cody and Gold garage sales this Wednesday, June 10th. 100% of proceeds go to the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. Auction is available for viewing and bidding by going to 96.5thefan.com and clicking the pass-through link. We get into our brioche of the weekend on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
We got a cap on that one, okay? $30.
Gotta figure out how to make money on this. I really want to.
I can't wait now.
OUKU teeing off at noon. Alex Gold's Jayhawks versus Drew Nixon's Sooners.
That's right.
That'll be a good game, I hope.
Well, it's already 8-1, Dusty, so we'll see how it finishes up in the last six innings.
That's just so funny that a Lubbock judge. Gold's pissed, by the way.
I'm sure he is. It's just not fair.
I mean, well, it's just stupid. I mean, the kid had a problem and was punished and then immediately was reimbursed.
That's right.
Like, hey, $90,000 on 9,000 bets, including your own team in Indiana. Eh, you know what? You're all right. Mm-hmm. Come play football.
Another breaking news. Quinn Snyder has agreed to a multi-year contract extension with Atlanta.
Not K-State.
I said to somebody yesterday, and I feel bad admitting this on the air. Mac, are you listening? Okay. Dusty, are you listening?
Of course.
I said to somebody yesterday, who's K-State's basketball coach? I think I was in Greece when they hired the guy. I have no, I couldn't tell you who the K-State basketball coach is if you gave me $1 million right now, tax-free. So, and everybody I was talking to, like, I think they hired some guy from like a smaller school. It's like, what's his name? I don't know. Who is it? And I'm being serious. Who coaches K-State basketball?
They hired
now?
Him from
Casey Alexander
from Belmont. Yeah, Casey
okay.
Alexander.
Casey Alexander from Belmont. Okay, cool.
Yeah, could be a really good hire.
Could be. You never know. You absolutely never know. But the K-State thing, man. If they would hire Quinn Snyder, that would have been awesome.
Before we get into the brioche of the weekend, do you agree with this text? College football ended today.
Boy, that's a deep text and a great conversation.
It's the story of the day.
Oh, by far. Can we talk about that more tomorrow when I think about it?
Oh, yeah. For sure.
I mean, put that in the doc. That's a great text right there.
Mac Amelie said no.
No, that just feels like a massive overreaction. Killed college football. Like, what are we doing?
Depending on how you, like.
Well, the text they had before that was players are free to gamble on own teams. Don't bet on college football. Legally can be fixed now.
That's a very interesting one, man. That, I mean, like, if you're betting college football now, knowing this, what is that? That's another layer.
Well, that part I would extrapolate to most of sports. You think we're dealing with this just in college football?
Well, we're dealing with people who haven't been caught yet.
Exactly. I mean, we just had it in the middle of the NBA season.
I mean, we did, yeah. We got guys in jail from the NBA. Yes. Terry Rozier.
Jameson Williams was betting on teams inside his own facility.
Right.
And that got him suspended.
Yep.
They're shutting it down. Like, the NFL, I would think, we're probably going to not see a lot of this because the NFL is so by the book with this because they want to keep the money coming in, you know?
Hey, if OU loses, you should walk back from Lawrence.
Walk back from Lawrence.
In case you missed that story from on this date, if you... few years ago, the Pittsburgh Pirates.
How would I get my car, though? See, that's the thing. Well, that guy was on the charter flight.
I'm sure your buddy Jim can drive it
back. No, we're driving separately today. We're meeting up.
Not
there,
anymore, you're
man.
Not.
All right, Jim, pick me up.
I don't have Jim.
Hey, he's getting ready to do taekwondo right now.
Finally found the reference to that. So over the weekend, they had the Chiefs and Bills 13-second game on, and I guess there was some sort of like controversy at the end of Travis caught the touchdown in OT, and Tony does do that. He does the, I don't know, Jim, this game may not be over yet. Yeah. I'm like, oh, that's where he's got it from. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know, Jim. Yeah, from that perspective, though, that is an interesting. I think that all of sports are having that issue right now. But okay, how legitimate can this be right now?
It's a great conversation, yeah. And honest to God, I would love to hear from fans on this and what they're thinking when it comes to football and gambling and the college thing that's going on. Because this guy was suspended by the NCAA for gambling on his own team, and the court goes, "Ah, you just have to miss the game against Abilene Christian and Oregon State." And you're back on the Red Raiders.
The judge who's a Texas Tech alumni.
Yeah. Which is another, like, oh my God.
It's a joke.
Yeah, it is.
I'm also a joke.
Brioche of the weekend.
Big brioche guy.
Love that. Yeah, good take.
All gone.
I guess I can go first, because I'm assuming that you guys will have much, maybe much more closer to home brioche for the weekends. Mine goes to Nelly Korda.
And it's happened. It just curled in, but Nelly Korda has the greatest title in the game.
Not sure if you saw her putt fall, but she won the Women's U.S. Open. It's her second women's major this year, fourth total, and she's 27 years old. She's on
cool.
her way.
She's the next Tiger Woods?
And a lot of people have said so. She's obviously played golf with him. There's video of that where they like meet each other. And she's like, "Oh my God, is it okay if like we take a picture?" And he's like, "Yeah, come on over. I'll just hang up with the president and mm-hmm. we can take a picture." but yeah, she is a four-time major champion, 27 years old, won a hell of a U.S. Open this weekend. You can actually watch that one because the Memorial Tournament was also disrupted by weather. Mm-hmm. As I texted you and Binkley privately, and then they finally went to split screen.
B-Dub was all over the weather, too, yesterday.
Yeah, it was. I mean, there was an amazing finish in the Memorial. Like, it got to a point where in the last three holes, there were five people tied at 11 under, and then it was storm in Hamlin, Missouri. Metro's fine, but off to the way southeast, here's all this. And it's like, can you split it? So, yeah, but my brioche of the weekend goes to Nelly Kay. She won another major and now has four total.
Mac?
I'll give it to the KC Auto Show. Was over there this weekend. It was
your
fantastic.
Your video with Bluey with, in the car when you rolled the window down had me there.
Yes. That was awesome, dude. Yeah, I got to hang out with Sporting KC's own Blue. Got to test drive a Polestar 2026. Mm. Dude, that was so futuristic, those cars. I mean,
give me more on that car.
I mean, when I'm turning, I can see on the big screen in front.
It's a minivan.
On the dash, I can... it's like an SUV.
Okay.
SUV Polestar 2026. I can see my whole car from above where I'm turning in relation to the sidewalk, in relation to the curb, in relation to behind me. The rear view mirror is
not... Do you need that? Is a car that big where you need that?
It could be useful in tight spaces for sure.
Okay.
The rear view mirror is not a mirror. It is a camera.
I don't like that. Yeah.
There is That's no, just being old, though. There is no mirror behind you. So I did it when I was switching lanes one time, kind of, you know, muscle memory, looked back behind me to like check my, there's no mirror back. There's no window back at the car.
Oh, there's no
window. There's no window behind the car. That mirror, that rear mirror is a camera with, you know, 180 degrees. They did all the, you know, visuals of it, but yeah, so you don't need to look back. There is no blind spot in this vehicle. It's pretty cool. It relies on technology quite a bit, but it was sick. It was sick. So going there was really fun.
That's cool, man. Yeah. I would be so crazy not having a window behind me, though. Looking in that rearview mirror, that would take a while for me, I would think, to get used to something like that.
It was cool. We went on a straightaway, and the guy in the back was, "All right, man, let it open. Let's see what it does." And I was like, sweet.
Yeah,
got to kind of floor it for a bit, so that was fun.
Very good. Yes. My brioche of the weekend goes to us at the BMA Foundation for another event done. well done, extremely well done. Over $730,000 raised. It all stays in Kansas City. So shout out to everybody who was part of it, and especially to our new charities that we welcomed in this year, For the Kids Foundation and See You in the Major Leagues Foundation. For the Kids finished number one. Jen Timmons won. She was outstanding. Her folks, her family, they own Nick and Jake's. They got a great new restaurant concept coming on with oysters and steaks and all this kind of stuff. I can't wait for them.
Did she have someone say the vote was rigged?
No, not like last year where they, no, but she won the money side. And then Dakota Thompson from See You in the Major Leagues, 19 years old, just graduated high school, won the performance side, and he finished second in money raised as well. So our two new charities, our two new foundations donated and brought the house down with how much money they were able to bring in. And it was a great night, by everybody. But the most important part of the night, not that all the money stays in Kansas City, it's that we have a listener that his last day on the job was Saturday for our BMA event, because our show director, Sarah DeVault, says you're not retiring until our event is done. And that's Fitzroy. We talked about him at the beginning of the show. 42 years working at the Westin Crown Center, Sheraton, the Hyatt at the time. And he says, I wake up every morning listening to you guys. I love you guys so much. In fact, you saved my life. Because
looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I was listening to you, and I went to see KCUC about my prostate exam. They found out that I had cancer. They cured it. And if I wasn't listening to you, I wouldn't have gone to KCUC to get the prostate exam. I'm like, oh, my God, that's so awesome.
Amazing.
And so today is Fitzroy's first day of retirement after 42 years. Listens to us every day. He's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't have to go to work. How am I going to listen to you guys? Get up and listen, Fitzroy. You're the best, my man. 42 years. Woo. Enjoy that retirement, and you will be missed down there at Crown Center, my man.
Let us know when the body clock expires. Bob also got his Halloween costume via the BMAs. You have to look at it after the show, Mac. It's quite mesmerizing. Go do something nice for somebody. You never know. Change their day, their week, their month, their year. It's simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay kind, stay groovy, stay safe, and stay here on 96.5 The Fan, because coming up next from 10 to 2, it's Cody, Golden, Drew. Talk to you tomorrow.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us, listen to the Powers That Be, wherever you get your podcasts.